If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I passed out a couple things. You know, one is the strategy of Satan and how to detect and defeat him. It's by Warren Wiersbe, and he's written a little book that I'm going to be using the next few weeks. Some of the things that are in it, at least as far as the outline. And Satan targets us in various ways. One of the ways is he targets our mind, and we're talking about that tonight, and how that he attacks us. But we have a counterattack, amen, through the Word of God. And so that's what that is about in there. And so if you'll just kind of put that in your Bible, and in the next few weeks, or if you want to follow with the outline tonight a little bit, you can do that. And certainly I hope that that is a help. All right. Also, I passed out this Foundation magazine. I don't know how many, I don't think too many read the Foundation magazine, but it has always some interesting articles in it. And one that is very current is on page 10, The Power of a False Narrative. If you just turn there, and we'll look at this just very, very briefly. When you hear the word false narrative, is that kind of almost a political correct term? Okay. Yeah, you got that? False narrative? What's a three-letter word for a false narrative that begins with an L and ends in an E? A lie, right? And certainly we are being fed a lot of lies. And certainly it's interesting the terminology that's going around, a false narrative, fake news, fact-checking, and the culture cancel and all of that that goes on. But I hope you'll read that article. And he goes through, and I thought it was interesting. Roger was talking this morning in Sunday school about going through the book of Jeremiah. And this is a summary of what God's people accepted as a false narrative, as a lie. They said, we'll go and depend upon Egypt to deliver us instead of following the Lord's will. Did they get in trouble? Did they go to Babylon? Okay, can God's people, as well as the unsaved, fall for a lie? Okay, seven things are brought up. I challenge you to read that article, and there's some other interesting articles in there as well. But certainly this is very, very timely. And so I would encourage you to read that. And so we want to look tonight in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's very interesting in the Hebrew language. It is not God's plural, it is God's singular. Okay? That was a real, 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 Satan trying to say, you're going to be God. Can you imagine? Worshiping. Do we have anybody that worships themselves anymore today? Huh? Do we call that humanism? That is very, very, very much, this is what America is turning into, folks. And this is the program, I believe, of our current administration, is to get us to thinking down that trail. I saw it so clearly when we were in the Netherlands. And certainly it's important that we understand what is being said here. And then in verse 6 he says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Man, can you imagine that, guys? Just whatever you say, honey, I'll do. I mean, Adam just, he just gave up everything. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Father, we pray tonight that you might help us as we look into your word to understand how vital this truth is, that Satan does use our mind. But Father, that we have the truth, and we can certainly allow the truth to penetrate our minds so that we can have an absolute weapon to fight against the evil of temptation that Satan will set before us in our minds. Father, we know that there is so many lies that are out there today, and they're increasing, it seems, in multiple ways every day. And so, Lord, I pray that you might help us to be discerning, help us to put the truth of your word in our hearts on a daily basis, and Father, to use it that we might be a witness, that we might be a testimony for your namesake, and that we might not fall prey to the evil one. And we thank you so much for your promise that you've said in your word, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we thank you for that great victory that we can have through Christ and through the Spirit of God, as he uses the word of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Many have downplayed the significance of the mind in their walk with the Lord. Some people say, well, that's okay for you, Pastor. You need to study so you can teach us some things out of the Word of God. But for me, I just kind of leave my Bible over there on the shelf or the coffee table. And then it comes to the end of the week, I'll pick it up and I'll use it again when we come to service. No, God says that we need to use the Bible on a daily basis, and that we need to put it in our hearts so that we have it in times when we are presented with these lies that would enter our mind. Isn't it interesting that our minds are like a computer? Shouldn't we use our mind to love the Lord? Isn't that a commandment?
Yes.
Isn't that the first commandment?
Yes.
Okay. And so if we are going to love the Lord with our mind, with all our mind, that is so important. And our minds are just like a computer. We think something today, and maybe in, for most people anyway, I should qualify that. But for most people, you might remember what you thought today 10 years from now. Possibly, okay? You might hear something. It makes an imprint on your computer up here. And you store that for future use, right? Okay? Folks, we're living in a technology age, but we better use the best technology that God has given us. Amen? This is so vital. Why would Satan attack the mind? It is because that the mind is part of the image of God. Isn't that right? That is part of our mind, our image of God, rather. And through the image of God, God communicates truth to you and me as believers. It is absolutely essential that you read the Word of God and come to an understanding of what the Bible says, and then apply it correctly. It is through the mind that our hearts are renewed day by day. Amen? And so that's vital. Romans 12, 2. Isn't that right? We're to renew our minds. Paul reminded the Corinthian believers that Satan used his lies on her, on Eve, to deceive her. And certainly we'll look at that tonight. The strategy Satan used in Eve's mind was that he said, first of all, I want you to doubt God's word, then I want you to deny the God's word with me, and then I can deceive you. If Satan can get you to believe a lie, he can work in your life to lead you into sin. You and I must use God's truth to defend ourselves from Satan's lies, and tonight we'll look at three truths found in God's word so we may detect and defeat Satan. Truth number one, Satan consistently uses lies to defeat people. Is that a truth, folks? Okay. Did it happen in the garden? Okay. Did it happen that Satan came to the one who knew all things, who was omniscient, and he tried to pawn off some lies to Jesus Christ? He did. Let me ask you, is he still pawning off lies to people today? Absolutely. And so I believe that's a truth. Satan consistently uses lies to defeat people. Now, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and a murderer. He's the father of lies. And so we need to remember that. Satan defeated Eve through a lie. Satan did not deny that God had spoken to Eve. Isn't that interesting? He says to Eve, has God really said this? In other words, he says, yeah, I'll use God's word. I'll let you know. Yeah, I think that's probably there. But is that really what he said? Is that really what it means? Can you really trust that? He was trying to instill doubt in Eve's mind. And so Satan inserted doubt by questioning whether God had really said what Eve thought God said. Certainly as we look at it, as that doubt filled Eve's mind, how did she come back to Satan? In verses 2 and 3, what happened there? She takes and she adds and she subtracts from what God had originally said. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. And it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? How eat?
Freely.
Okay. I mean, they had the whole assortment in the garden except for one tree. Wow. That wasn't too restrictive, was it? Okay. Was God generous? Was God good in warning her and warning us? Absolutely. Certainly, she left out freely eat. And neither shall you, what? She says, and neither shall you touch it. Okay? Eve says, you know, I really probably shouldn't get too close here, but, okay? And so she adds to what God has said there. So she adds that to the Word of God. Do people add and subtract to the Word of God today? Yes, they do. Many people add to what salvation says. Many people want to take away from what salvation says. They don't want to trust the blood of Jesus Christ. And certainly that is there as well. Satan was questioning God's goodness and warning her that she would die by disobeying God's word. And so he was really testing God's goodness there and getting her to doubt. Satan was attempting to make Eve think that God did not have her best interest in mind. Boy, if I just did this, I could have something better. No, you'll have something worse. That's God's truth. And then, after achieving his goal of doubt, Satan took the next step in an outright denial of God's word. He says there, ye shall not surely die. What does Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, the last phrase, say? Therefore thou shalt what? Die? No, thou shalt what? Surely die. No doubt about it. Right? Okay? He has actually attacked God's word as it is literally written, and the warning that was so sound. And so we find here that there was the denial. From the denial, Satan moved to deception. He wanted her to know that she was missing out on something and that God was holding out on her. And he says, God, in the day that you eat of this, some good things are going to happen to you. You're going to know good and evil. Wouldn't it be pleasant today, folks, if we didn't know evil? We just knew good. I wonder if that's part of heaven. That everything is going to be so perfect and so good that we won't even worry about this bad stuff that's going down here on this earth. Certainly, and that is something to think about. He says, if you're going to be somebody, if you take this lie and you believe it, you'll really be somebody. You'll be a God. And not only will your eyes be opened, but you will certainly be God and all of these other things. And so Eve, she succumbed to the temptation that Satan had for her. And certainly that is there in the text. But I want us to move on to see how not only Satan tempted Eve, but also tempted the Lord Jesus. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And this goes very well with 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10, we can read before that back to verse 4. Let's read what Jesus is tempted. First of all, in verse 3, he says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." What had Jesus been doing just before that? He had been fasting for how many days? 40 days. You think he might be hungry? Do you think that anything on the menu might sound good? Yes. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He says, this is what I am going to defeat you with, the truth of God's word. And so he used the scriptures and emphasized that there in the first temptation. That is certainly a temptation of the lust of the flesh. Do unsaved people and saved people alike fall to the temptation of the flesh? Unfortunately, even those that claim to be ministers do, and it is a shame. And certainly we need to ask God to help us to remember the Word of God, that He is the one who satisfies our needs physically. Amen? Has God provided for us? In abundance. And then he went on in verse 6. And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus, just get up here and take a dive down and see what happens. I know the angels will be right there. They'll be your parachute. And nothing will happen. And look, you can be the greatest in the world. Was that an appeal to the pride of life? How does Jesus take that? Jesus says, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Okay? So that was that temptation. And then he takes him in verse 8, "And the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, All these things I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and what? Worship me." Okay? He takes him and he gives him a world tour. In a couple seconds, you see, Jesus could see all things, couldn't he? Okay? And Satan says, just look around, and everything that... Satan, I tell you what, he really pawns off some dumb stuff, doesn't he? This was the creator that made everything in the world, right? Okay? And who is tempting him? The created being. He isn't the creator. And Jesus comes back to him and he says, thus saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Folks, is this the lust of the eyes? Do we get our eyes on some things? Boy, I was I was out in the parking lot tonight, and Roger says, you want to try this out? I said, yeah. I said to myself, boy, Ralph, it'd be nice to have one of these. But, you know, I can be content with what I have. And isn't that part of what we need to be doing, too? Even though sometimes our eyes get covetous. And certainly Jesus had the appeal of the lust of the eyes, but three times he comes back and he uses the word of God, and does he leave Satan 0 for 3? Amen, huh? I mean, you flunked. You didn't make it, Satan. You're done. Now, does Satan defeat people today? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Here we have those that are in the pagan society that we're living in today. It's just a description in verses 21 to 23 that describes it perfectly. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's one of the prayers you need to be making about these politicians that want to ruin and destroy the faith that was established America. You know, David prayed that Ahithophel his counsel would be turned to foolishness, and it was. And certainly, God can do those things. And then he says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Certainly, I think we can see there is that they substituted the lie that God was not the creator, but evolution was. We're seeing that in our society today. You should see Satan as one better than the creator is basically what they're doing here in these verses. Certainly the creation of angel Lucifer, he was claiming to be better than the creator. Satan attempts to get others to believe he has a better way of doing things than God, and that you can substitute these things in place of God. Does God sometimes say, religion? You know, you just have a little bit of religion and you'll be okay. No, we're only saved one way, right? Through Jesus Christ. And that is so important for us. People always want to substitute for what is the genuine truth. Now, does Satan use counterfeits today? What's another three-letter word that begins with L and then ends with E for a counterfeit? They're a what? They're a lot, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we don't have time to go through all of these. I wish we had time to look up every one of these verses, but you can jot them down. There are counterfeit brethren. Paul said there was false brethren, false or counterfeit Christians in quotations. There's a counterfeit gospel in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Counterfeit ministers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. There are counterfeit righteousness in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. There are counterfeit churches in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. There are counterfeit doctrines. Boy, I tell you, there are a lot of false doctrines out there today. And we need to be aware and beware. And a counterfeit Christ. Who is the counterfeit Christ, folks? In the days of the tribulation, the Antichrist. That's seven lies that God says Satan is using today. Okay? I think we've established the truth here as we've looked at these things tonight, that Satan uses lies to defeat people. Truth number two, Satan attacks God's word so you will be ignorant of God's will for you. Does this sound like any memory verse that we're learning in Sunday school? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you that ye might desire to what? Okay, to have the knowledge of his will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so Satan says, if I can get to the mind, I can also detour people from the will of God in their life. If we saturate our minds with all of the things that are going on in television and so on, these false narratives, it isn't soon that we are taken away from doing the will of God. Right? Now, you know, I could spend all day, and thank God I don't have a TV, I might be tempted to watch some of these things. And occasionally I listen to the radio, but I've come to the point that I cannot spend all of my time on that. I need to spend my time right here. Amen? This is important for us. Now, I don't think we ought to have our head in the sand, but at the same time, we better be careful about what we are using our mind for. God wants us to know his will. Okay? That's very clear in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. God wants you to know his will, that we would have a knowledge of his will. God also wants us to understand his will, not only to come to that point where we know his will, but that we understand it, that we know how it operates, how it applies in our Christian lives. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, let's turn back there for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of God. Okay. Does God want us to know the will of God, to understand the will of God? And it said in that passage in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. Okay. I get out my Bible and I say, okay, today, Ralph, you just have a great intellect today and I'm going to get the understanding. Is that the way it works? No, we have to pray and we have to ask God to open his word to our hearts and to our minds that we might understand. You know, you can read this like a library book, but it's not a library book. This is a spiritual book that speaks to our hearts and our souls, and we must read it in that fashion if we are going to know the will of God and to understand it. God also not only wants us to know the will of God and to also understand it, but also to what? To do it. Does James say that we ought to not only be hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. And that's important for us. It was in the morning message in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus said that he came in the volume of the book. It was written of him to do the will of God. And we ought to be like Christ in that way. Let's take our Bibles and turn again back to Colossians chapter 4. I believe God wants you to also stand in His will. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in 50% of the will of God. No, he was praying for all. He wanted 100% success. He says, and that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Folks, we cannot give ground to a false narrative, to lie. We must stand. And so that's important. Truth number three, I believe we must use the word of God to defeat him. Certainly, we must know the word of God. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God, a what? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Does it take work sometimes to get in the Word of God and to really understand it? I tell you what, I my wife knows. Sometimes the stack of books is sitting next to my desk about that high. Because I want to know what those words say, okay? And I have to do some digging sometimes. And that is important for us to use the tools that God has given to us, but also, as Roger has pointed out so often in the Sunday school class, to compare Scripture with Scripture. And then we will learn more about what those texts mean and the context, and to be a good workman of the Word of God, that we might show ourselves what? Approved unto God. And then to memorize the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might, what? Not sin against God. But also that we might do the will of God. That's important as well. Do we need to meditate upon the word of God? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, huh? We're to meditate upon it whenever. No? What'd you say, Judy? Day and night. Does that mean daily? And twice a day? At least, okay? We're thinking about it. Isn't it good to get up in the morning and have something that will go and give you the strength for that day? Isn't it good to take a piece of the Scriptures and to say, this is something that I can rest my head on tonight and have peace while I sleep? You have a verse of Scripture you've memorized, and you start meditating on that when you wake up. And I know some of you old people do that. And I know young people don't do that. They just naturally go to bed, and they sleep. And I hope they sleep even better than a baby, okay? We need to meditate, to think on the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, does it say to think on what? The first thing. Truth, huh? Honesty, huh? And we certainly need that in our lives. Psalm 1:2 talks about the man of God that's going to be blessed as well when they meditate. Do we need not only to know the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, but do we also need to use it? Okay? Are we in a spiritual battle, folks? Or has God said that, yeah, you folks, you're doing fine, you just sit back in your easy chair, get out the sun lounge and just bake a little bit, and just, nothing's going to happen that's going to oppose you as a Christian. I tell you what, if you think that, you have been deceived by the evil one. That's a lie. God says, you're in a battle. And a Christian soldier has to use, he's only got one offensive weapon. What is the one offensive weapon in Ephesians chapter 6? The what?
Sword of the Lord.
Sword of the Lord, right. Okay, the Word of God. And do we need to use it, every day? Do we need to use it for ourselves? Absolutely. Do we need to use it to help other Christians grow? Absolutely. Do we need to use it when we are faced by our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil? Absolutely. And so it is vital that this Word of God is just a part of our mind constantly. Okay? Can I encourage you? Spend time in the Word of God and then memorize it. Try and memorize. Folks, my wife and I, Roger, we've been doing this almost 2 months, I think, in Sunday school, Colossians 1, 9 to 11. And we sit down every night after supper, and before we read our devotions, I've got a little 3x5 card that's Colossians 1, 9 to 11, and I say, "Hun, before we have devotions, we're going to try and say this verse." We have been trying to say it. And sometimes, you know what? If we don't do that every day, we start slipping. And God says, keep it there until it is ingrained in the mind and it comes out automatically. Amen? That it be there when you need it. Colossians 1, 9 to 11, it governs our prayer life. Folks, if we are ever going to have power in this church, it's going to be because of prayer. And so I trust that we will take these things to heart, that we will use the Word of God as our defense, that we will not be ignorant of the will of God, that we will not fall for the lies, and realize that the mind is a part of the image of God that He wants us to use rightly rather than let Satan abuse it. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. And we ask now that You might help us to remember these things and to come to a place where we certainly are able and capable of being a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And Father, also to be strengthened in the inner man and renewed by You day by day. Oh, how we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.